That was in mono. That was not a mistake. That was in mono. That was for Amy Bernstein, who will admit that she likes it. Welcome. Welcome to Roulette. Thank you all for coming. Let's see. There's a program. It says something. I'm going to do a set of about 40 minutes, and after it, there will be the shroud removed from the body over here for a second half by Konrad in absentia. I'm doing some old pieces today. I'm sorry. Any of you who actually came to the kitchen last year will be bored by much of this. Second piece is called Lightning Strikes Not Once But Twice. It's from a series of pieces about catastrophe, localized catastrophe in the human body, as opposed to generic catastrophe, which is what most of us experience. My name is Edwin Robinson. I'm 62 years old. I live in Falmouth, Maine. From 1952 to 1978, I drove a truck for Red Bull Freight. One night, I was coming back from Portland, and this big gull flew smack into my windshield. I saw a flash of white, the windshield shattered. I missed a curve and ran off into a big elm. When I came to, I couldn't see a thing. I've been blind ever since. Last week, there was this big storm. I was out in the backyard, kind of dozing, when I felt the wind coming up my hair and the first drops down my cheek. Pat, that's my wife, had strung a rope from the porch to the maple at the end of the garden after the accident, so I could find my way without getting into the flowers. I reached for the rope and headed for the house, but I must have gotten turned around, because after a moment, my left hand touched a tree. That's when it happened. I heard a sound like a whip, and my hand got hit hard. I must have gone flying 10 feet back the line. When I came to, I was looking up at white smoke, curling off a black branch against a gray sky. Pat came running towards me, wearing the most beautiful red dress I've ever seen. the distinguished Ben Neal on trumpet. I should just take this moment to thank Ken Montgomery for this invitation and to say that Generator was a wonderful, wonderful splinter in the side of the music scene here for many years. And this piece that I'm about to do now, actually the very first version of it was done in a Generator series, which I always seem to make pieces for the gigs that don't pay. Which means that really they do pay, if you catch the drift. So this has a text by David Wright, South African poet. It's about going deaf.
So
his visit, inaugurated a ceremony which was to be observed every morning, so long as I stayed at the nursing home. His gold watch. It had Victorian Rococo initials engraved on the back. From his waistcoat pocket, he would hold it up to my ear. Can you hear the tick? Can you hear the tick? Can you hear the tick? I would shake my head. My head was thick with bandages. My father never failed to pay his early morning visit, or else to administer the ritual of the watch. It gave me the first clue to the discovery I was to make in the course of the next few weeks, that I had completely lost my hearing. One would think that deafness must have been self-evident from the first. On the contrary, I had to deduce the fact of deafness through a process of reasoning. It took me some time to figure out. No one inhabits a world of total silence. The doctor's car driving me to the hospital, while the tread of the nurse coming into my room to wake me in the morning used to wake me in the morning. How was I to know? Nobody told me. It was maybe more difficult to perceive, because from the very first, my eyes had unconsciously begun to translate music into sound. understood everything she said. Why not? Without knowing it, I had been reading her lips all my life. When she spoke, I seemed to hear her voice. It was an illusion, but an illusion which persisted long after I knew it was an illusion. My father, my cousin, everyone I have known retained phantasmal voices, that they were imaginary, the projections of habit and memory did not come home to me until I had left the hospital. One day, I was talking with my cousin, and he, in a moment of inspiration, covered his mouth with his hand as he spoke. Silence. Once and for all, I understood that when I could not see, I could not hear. Silence. Once and for all, I understood that when I could not see, I could not hear. I won't quote the rather obscene analogy I was using before, but now I have to try to do patter while I cover up a change in patching here. This is electronic music.
I'm failing.
This piece uses music by Guami. 1600 Venice and 1994 Nick seem to have some strange understanding I can't quite figure out. But I wrote a letter to Shirley MacLaine, and I think she can tell me. A text is by Nabokov. Does this make me pretentious or what? But it's so good that you'll forgive me when you hear it. And it's written in memory of Stuart Marshall, very good friend. Died last spring. Mm-hmm.
drama of the moment. Glad my mom's not here. Take that pose again, Nick.
The the blue roses of the wallpaper, the open window, its reflection fills the oval mirror above the leathern couch where my uncle sits, gloating over a tattered book. A sense of security, of well-being, of summer warmth pervades my memory. That robust reality makes a ghost of the present. The mirror brims with brightness. A bumblebee has entered the room and bumps against the ceiling. Everything is as it should be. Nothing will ever change. Nobody will ever die.
Since leaving the fair island of Manhattan, I've been living in Amsterdam, where I have a J-O-B job for the first time in my life. I'm pretending as all of you are my intimate friends. This is the illusion of roulette. It's very nice. Most of you are. And at this J-O-B job, where I work at Stein, they make odd machines to help composers make music. Something I've been doing all along by myself, but evidently the idea of the Dutch cultural ministry is to lead other people astray into careers with no hope of gainful employment, except the one job I have. That's the only one. Now, Nick, let's see if I can do this. While talking, you see, it's difficult. That's a start. And one of the things they've made is a little machine that allowed me to take this poor, lonely beads inside it due to a previous act of violence by someone before me, and give it a useful life, you know, like turning old Coke bottles into thick glasses. And this piece, if it turns on today, is a step towards making some use of this small computer and this big concertina. Let's see what we can get. Okay. Adiós, abuela. Which means wet paint in Spanish. computer doesn't make it any easier to play, you know, it just makes it confusing in a different way, traditional. We're going to leave you with another tacky cover. Ben, why don't you tell us something about this piece? As co-composer,
right.
Co-author.
Put together during Operation Desert Storm. It's our rendition of David Bowie's 5 Years, first song on Ziggy Stardust. For those of you who remember it.
Yeah, all this material is showing our age. I mean, I was very young when the Guami was written, but
yeah, right.
The fact that I can remember it, it all was pretty horrifying. Okay.
Well, after we got the idea to do the cover, we started realizing that all the words refer to sound.
Oh yeah,
and
that's important to know.
Yeah, I just remembered that part. Besides the fact that the song's about the end of the world and
popular topic,
right? All the lyrics seem to refer to sound events, so we made a tape collage based on those sound events and kept the drum beat just because it swings so well.
And also because we want to set ourselves up for copyright violation. Can I press a button?
I think so.
This is my biggest job, and this is right now.